Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 31. And we'll read verses 31 to 36. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." I wonder if you take a break from Luke's Gospel and to look at these verses, particularly verse 32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Partly because it's a question that I was asked during the week about Christian freedom, and I wanted to see what this means, how the truth sets us free, and what it means to be free. We have God's truth. It's here in the Bible. This is the truth of God. But to have the truth without freedom is to cast a slur on it, is to deny what Jesus is saying here. He says, when you know the truth will make you free. So if there are those here who are Christians and who feel that they are not free, then there's something that needs to be sorted out, whether it's in your understanding or in your practice of Christianity. Or there may be those here who are not yet Christians, and you may question the fact that the Bible says you're not free, and you may want to find out what that means, and you may want to find out how you can be set free. Let's look at how the truth sets us free. Now, I'm assuming a lot in one way. The truth, Pilate said about to Jesus, what is truth? Well, the truth, Jesus said, was himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The truth is Jesus. And Jesus is saying here, if you know me, then you will be set free. And we know Christ through his word, which is also truth. Now, how does knowing Jesus, and how does following Jesus, how does having Jesus as our God set us free? And if we see that, there are six ways I'm going to mention. And as we see each of them, then we'll hopefully see what it means to be a Christian, how we become a Christian, how we are to live as Christians. So let's look at the first way. To know Jesus, to be a Christian, to know the truth, means that we are set free from the condemnation of sin. Now if you look at verse 34, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." The Jews had said to Jesus, "Look, we're not slaves, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone." And Jesus says, "Yes, you are. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin, and you sin. Therefore, you are not free." And that's the same for everyone in this world and everyone in this building, that we all sin. By sin we mean doing what is wrong. We all do things that are wrong to a greater or lesser degree. Not only that, sin is not only doing things that are wrong, but it's not doing what is right. And we all turn away from God, and we all don't do the good that we should do. There's not one person who can say that they do not sin. So therefore, if Jesus is telling the truth, and he is, what he says is this, that every single person here, every single person in your family, every single person in Brora, throughout the world, who has ever lived, is a slave. The slave to sin. Sin enslaves. And it's not just in the dramatic way. We can talk about someone who takes drugs, for example, and they know that it's wrong, and they are a slave to it. They feel that they've got to keep doing it. Or somebody who may have a a thing about stealing. They steal, they know that it's wrong, and they have a compulsion to carry on stealing. Well, we can understand it in that way, but we need to understand it also for ourselves. That's just like a drug addict. We are addicted to sin. We don't sometimes want to do it, we know that it's wrong, and yet because of our nature, we can't stop ourselves doing what is wrong. And the simplest test of that is not for you to come and say, right, I don't sin. It's to go away and during this next week, see if you can live a sinless life. In other words, you think no evil and you do no evil. And there is not one person who can do that. Now, becoming a Christian sets us free from the enslaving power of sin, gets rid of our addiction, cures us from our addiction to sin. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. And then in verse 11 to 23, he speaks about this. He says, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Verse 18, you have been set free from sin, and have become slaves to righteousness. Verse 20, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, so that the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now what Paul is saying there is this, that when you become a Christian, the sin that is within you, the sinful nature, it was crucified with Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he carried our sins. And therefore, the power of sin has been broken for those who trust in Jesus. And so a Christian is set free from the power of sin. Now that's very important. We're inclined to say, well, we carry on sinning, so it doesn't matter. But it does matter, because we are no longer to be slaves to sin. A Christian is to be set free, and a Christian can't fold his arms and sit back and say, well, I can't help it. It's in my nature. We have been set free from sin. Yet, we continue to sin. So how can we say we are free? Paul in Romans chapter 7, he says, about evil he doesn't want to do, that he keeps on doing, and the good that he does want to do, that he doesn't do. And he talks about being trapped. Who shall set him free from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So as a Christian, although I continue to do things that are wrong, I am no longer enslaved by sin, because its condemnation has gone. God doesn't condemn the Christian for sin, because God has already condemned his son Jesus for our sin. Now, let's try and simplify that a wee bit. We're all trapped in sin. We can't escape from that. Not one person here can go out and say, right, I am no longer going to sin. There is a problem. Every one of us needs to be set free from that. Jesus, God's Son, came into the world and died. He died the death of the wicked, though he himself was perfect. He died taking our sin, the sin that you and I committed. And when we come to believe in Jesus, and when we come to follow Jesus, and when we come to know Jesus and to know the truth, then what Christ did is counted for us. So that because I know Jesus, and because any Christian knows Jesus, then we are set free from being condemned by our sins. And as a Christian, I can then say that although I hate the evil that still I do at times, yet sin will not have dominion over me, and yet although I hate it, my guilt is taken away, my sin is atoned for. And that's extremely important, because there are Christians who allow themselves to be pushed down by sin and who allow the devil to accuse them. And they forget this freedom that we have, free from condemnation, free from the power and the enslavement of sin. To say that God cannot forgive our sin is to suggest that his work on the cross is not enough, and is to call God a liar. 1 John 1 and verse 9, and also in chapter 5, we are told that this is the testimony that God has given, that we have life. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. So the first freedom that a Christian has is freedom from sin. Now nobody but nobody in the world has that. There is not one person, no matter how free they say they are, no matter how rebellious they may be, there is not one person who has this freedom. But a Christian does, and a Christian should use it, and a Christian should proclaim it. Then there's another freedom, and it's this: freedom from the law. The people who were accusing Jesus were the teachers of the law. The law condemned people, not because it was an evil thing, but because it demanded such a standard of perfection that it showed up everyone as sinners. No one can live by the law, not one of us. And in the beginning of John chapter 8, the woman who was caught in adultery, by the law said that she ought to be stoned. And they were about to stone her, and Jesus, remember how he wrote in the ground, "If any of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And every single one of us has that sin. So we are all under the law. The law would condemn every one of us. And when you know Jesus, when you become a Christian, you are set free from this law. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. "My brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might belong to another. But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." Again, this is what's being said. But God has a law, and he sets up this law, and he says in this law, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not be greedy, you must worship me," and so on. And that law is a law which, if we break in any part, we are guilty of breaking the law. That's what the Bible says. In order to stand before God, we would need to keep it perfectly. Now, none of us keeps it perfectly. Therefore, we're all condemned by the law. But, and if we try to live our Christian life by the law, or if someone tried to become a Christian and they said, "I'm going to become a Christian by reading my Bible, by praying, by not stealing," by all the things that they could do, they would never succeed. The law would only condemn them. In Romans we are told that we live in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. Now what does that mean? It means this: that what the law couldn't do, Jesus has done. You and I couldn't obey the law. The law would condemn us, and instead, Jesus obeyed it for us. And we're told that he took that law, and he nailed it to the cross. And now, by trusting in Jesus, and by knowing in Jesus, we're set free from obeying every requirement of the law ourselves. In other words, I have broken the commandment, "Do not steal." Or I may have broken the commandment, "Do not murder," because I've hated somebody. Or I may have broken all the commandments, and the law would say you are condemned to hell. But because Jesus has fulfilled the law, I'm set free from that law. And Jesus has obeyed it for me. And I can no longer be condemned by that law. So when the devil will take up God's law and will accuse me, I can say as a Christian, yes, I know that I am guilty, but God has set me free from this law. Now that is very, very important. We live in the age of the gospel, the age of freedom. And Paul warns us that we must not allow ourselves to come under the bondage of law again. That we do not live by the law, but we live by God's Spirit. Now that is not saying that the Old Testament law was wrong. It's not saying that we have a right to go out and steal. What it is saying is that we cannot be put right with God by obeying the law. We are put right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, although I have broken the law, and although at times I will again break the law, I'm free from its condemnation. And that's what makes real Christianity so different from false Christianity. That's what makes real Christianity so different from all the other religions of the world, because the other religions of the world say this: do this and you will live. Do that and you will live. They have all these sets of laws. But in real Christianity, we have this great freedom that nothing that we can do can make us Christians except faith in Jesus Christ. That it's done for us. You see, there are people who take the Bible and they twist it. And they would call us in the Free Church and other Bible-believing Christians, they would say they're fanatics. They're terribly fanatical and so on. And they would call us legalists and various other things. But you know, it's the other way around. We bring the Bible as Christ intended, to bring freedom, to set people free from all the moralistic requirements that do-gooders profess as Christianity. And we say Jesus is here offering himself freely without price and without cost. We are set free from the law, free from the condemnation of sin. We are set free from death. Romans chapter 6 and verses 8 to 10. If we died with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Tomorrow, we're going to have a funeral. There are two types of funeral, and only two types of funeral that we can have. There is a funeral where there is a desperate sadness, because we do not know whether the person was a Christian or not. We don't know. We cannot say. We don't know how God worked in their life. There was no profession of Jesus Christ. And so it is a very, very sad occasion. But tomorrow is not to be a sad occasion. Yes, it's an occasion for mourning. It's an occasion for saying farewell to somebody. But when someone dies who is a Christian, there is a world of difference. Because all the consequences of death, the Christian has been set free from. You see, sin and the law, the wages of sin is death. Sin and the law combine together to bring death. Therefore, if we are set free from sin, and we are set free from death, from the law rather, then it also follows that we are set free from death. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, then when these two are taken away, then the sting and the power of death is taken away. It's like a bee. You take the sting out of a bee, it's harmless. And the same for the Christian. Death is harmless to the Christian. Because a Christian will not be condemned. A Christian need not fear the consequences after death. And that doesn't mean that we don't physically die. Of course we die. We are all dying. As Christians, you and I are dying. But it does mean that we need not fear what is beyond. We need not fear God's judgment or God's punishment. We need not fear as we go through the valley of the shadow of death. We needn't fear, because to the Christian, death is the gateway to heaven. That's why the early Christians, when they were given the choice between disobeying Christ and dying, they chose dying. And it wasn't because they were fanatics. It's because they knew that to die was gain. So as a Christian, I am set free from the power of death, from the consequences of death. And that is a great thing. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, you have to ask yourself, what would happen if you walked out of this building and you had a heart attack? What would happen to you if you were knocked down by a car? What would happen to you? Your life is not guaranteed. You may not be here next week. You may not be here again to hear God's word. And you are under the condemnation that death brings. There is no hope for you. And I would hate to be conducting your funeral without the knowledge that you knew Jesus and so had been set free from the power of death. As a Christian, you're set free from the condemnation of sin. A Christian is set free from the law. A Christian is set free from death. And a Christian is set free from the world. In Colossians, Paul says this: since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, and later on he uses the expression, having been set free from this world. Now what does that mean? It means that Christians are set free from the standards of our society, from the pressure of our friends, peer pressure. Why is it that a young person will start drinking? For some, it may just be they would like to try it and see. But for many, it will be peer pressure. Go on, do it. Because all their friends are doing it. Or a young person will start smoking, traveling to be on a school bus. And everyone else is doing it, so they do it. There's peer pressure. Why is it that we have the standards of living that we have? Because we compare ourselves with our neighbors. There is peer pressure put on young and old. And people can rebel against that. You get young people who do rebel against the standards of the society that we live in. And people say, oh, that's shocking and that's terrible. And they think that they're being free. But really, they're just conforming to another set of rules and regulations. People like to think, perhaps, that they are being different. But all of us are influenced and are trapped in the world. We can't escape from it. Except Christians. Christians are set free from the pressure of our society. Supposing the whole world was to go against you, yet as a Christian, you can still stand. Supposing every single person in Brora and all your family and all your friends, they were to put pressure on you, and people can do, to do different things, you can resist that pressure, because we're set free from the world. Because to us, it doesn't ultimately matter what the world thinks. We are more concerned with God. We have our hearts set on things above. And that's a great freedom. I don't need to do what anybody else tells me to do. I am free from all the pressure that the television, that the radio, that the community around me would put on me to conform to its own standards. I am free from that. And again, that's something that every Christian should have. Then we're also set free from ourselves. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Some people are locked inside themselves. They are so inward looking. Everything depends upon themselves. Their feelings, their emotions, they can't cope. Their minds are just locked in on themselves. And it's no wonder that so often there are so many problems because people are inward looking. There are some people who condemn themselves, who have this massive guilt complex, and they are imprisoned in their own minds. Well, as Christians, again, we are set free from ourselves, because here's a non-Christian. Number one is me, always. I comes at the center of life. But when you become a Christian, you're set free from that slavery, the slavery of the me culture. And you're set free to serve God, to love your neighbor as yourself, and in doing so, you yourself will have a happier and a more fulfilled life. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. My emotions, my mind, my heart, the way that I think, these things do not rule my life. Jesus does. And that is a great freedom for any Christian to have. And then the last freedom is this. We're set free from sin, free from the law, free from death, free from the world, free from ourselves. And we are set free to something. Free to serve the living God. Again, in the book of Romans, Paul illustrates this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. And also in verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Free to serve the living God. When we talk about service to God, those of you who are not Christians may regard that as a kind of slavery, but it's not. To do what you are made to do what you are intended for, is not slavery, it's freedom. We were made to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, and if we do anything else, we are bound in slavery. When I say that we are free to serve the living God, it's the kind of freedom that comes as sons. We are free as sons to serve a father. The mark of the Christian is that he serves God out of love, as a son, rather than out of fear, as a slave. It's a great freedom. That's why those who are not Christians, and who look upon Christians and they say, oh, it must be terrible being a Christian, having to do all these things, having to go to church twice and to a prayer meeting and to read your Bible. They have this tremendous impression of religion as being this oppressive system of rules and regulation and laws. But real Christianity is the very opposite. But we come to church because we want to. We read God's word because we want to. We pray because we want to. It's as natural to us as speaking to our own family. We do it because we have been set free to do it. Free to serve the living God. We're not slaves. Most people in the world, they'll look and they'll say that people going to church, that they're either mad or they're being caught up by religion. Watch out, you're getting into it too heavy. It's too serious. Watch out, you'll go crazy. But we are not slaves. We have been set free, and it's the complete reverse. You and I, as Christians, can do as God wants us to. A man called Augustine once said this. It's a very dangerous thing that he said, but it's a biblical thing. He said, love God and do as you please. Love God and do as you please. He said that was his motto. But if you do love God, then you will please God. You will want to do what pleases God. It's a sad day when Christians come to church, when Christians obey God's word purely out of fear rather than out of love and out of freedom. God has not given us a spirit of bondage. He has given us the spirit of freedom. So therefore, those of us who are Christians, We have to use that freedom. We have to apply it to every part of our life. And those of you who are not Christians, the Bible says that you're so trapped, that you're so much in sin, that you're dead. You can't live. You can't be free. But if you want to, then the answer is to know Jesus. And in knowing Jesus, then you are set free from the things that would bind you and would trap you. And what do we mean by knowing Jesus? What do we mean by following Jesus? Well, if you hold to my teaching, said Jesus, then you are truly my disciples. And his teaching is surely this: to recognize that you are a slave. If you don't know that there's chains on you, then you won't want the key. So the first thing to do is to recognize that you have a need, that you are a slave, that you are bound by your own sin, that you are under the condemnation of the law, that death does have a sting for you, that you are trapped in the world and within yourself, that you cannot serve the living God. To recognize your need, to recognize God's remedy, that Jesus was sent into the world, God's only Son, to live and die the death that we deserve to die. And to commit your way to follow the Lord Jesus everywhere, to call him Lord. And in that following, you then receive freedom. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn, and part of that hymn was, "My chain fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee." When he came to understand who Jesus was, and who he was, and how this light shone into his heart, he could say this: "My chain fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee." May the Lord grant that we would all be able to testify to that. Let's just remain seated and bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that comes in Christ. We thank you that Jesus is the truth. We thank you that we can be set free from the guilt and the condemnation of sin and from its enslaving power. We thank you that we can be set free from the power of the law and of death, and from the pressures of the world, and from the pressures that come from within ourselves. And we thank you that we can be set free to serve the living God in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. We pray that you would grant that freedom to each one of your people, for we know, our God, how easily we can slip back into bondage, even in our own minds. And we pray, Lord, that you would grant that freedom to those who as yet do not know you, that even as we bow before you this morning, that we would give our hearts to you, that we would seek to follow you. Lord, take us and use us for your glory, and set us free, for we ask it in your name. Amen.